listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life. Hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, my beautiful beans. Welcome to the episode of today. So this is a head noise episode. We are going through questions that have been sent in by you guys, my listener beans, and I'm just going to go through them. I've got three that I want to cover today, and I just want to kind of dive straight in. Also, if you do want to send in your questions, just email info@dyfmpod.com. Or you can just go to the website www.dyfmpod.com and there will be like a little thing there for you to submit a question. Either one is fabulous. And of course, they will always be made anonymous, whether you state you want it anonymous or not. I will always make sure that I'm not mentioning your name or giving precise email address details down to each letter and location. I will not disclose. Okay, let's get straight into this one. Hi, Alexis. I hope you're doing well. Firstly, I wanted to express my sincere appreciation for the profound impact your podcast has had on my personal growth and self-discovery. Thank you. I've been a faithful listener of your podcast since 2021. That's awesome. Starting when I was just 17, and now I'm approaching my 21st birthday. I've noticed a common theme among myself and my peers, a sense of confusion and disorientation. Despite my efforts, I often find it challenging to articulate my thoughts and feelings, leaving me unsure of my direction and purpose. I'm reaching out to you in the hopes of gaining some clarity on this matter. Why do many of us in our early 20s experience such feelings of uncertainty? Your perspective on this topic would be immensely valuable to me. Thank you for your dedication to creating meaningful content. Your podcast has been a constant source of inspiration, and I'm grateful for the wisdom and insight that you share. Thank you so much. That's a very, very good question. I have a lot of people who are, most of my listeners are actually in their 20s. Heap of them are in their early 20s as well who listen to this. And look, there's a lot that's going on for you, for many people in this position. The first thing is that I think we are inundated a lot with information and avenues for comparison constantly. So if we look at social media, what's going on here, we have access to what other people are doing with their lives more than ever before. And it's not to say that this didn't occur in the past, but our ability to compare ourselves to other people at the scale that we can now, it's unprecedented. That's never happened before. So this is one big factor. There's this pressure that you need to have it all figured out in your 20s. I've got a very strong opinion with how you should approach your 20s, and people are going to differ on their opinion. I don't think that your 20s should be a time where you simply fuck around and do nothing, but I also don't think that the 20s, especially your early 20s, is a time where you have to know what you're doing and you need the answers. My opinion of the 20s is somewhere in between. I want you to take intentional action. I want you to try things, but for there to be no end game in sight in the sense of I'm here for the experience. I'm learning this thing because of my interest. I'm going to try going here because I'm curious. It's this idea of I believe that your 20s should be a decade of action, 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 action. Go, go, go. Trial, error, trial, error. You know, I think when it's phrased like, oh, 20s is the time of trial and error, a lot of people say, no, it's not. You don't want to get to the point where you're 30 and be like, fuck, I've had all this potential, I wasted so much time. I disagree with that because when you are trialing things, you are learning about yourself more than in any other time. When you are put through adversity, when you're failing at something, when you're just giving something a crack, that's when you really discover what it is that you don't want. And more importantly, what it is that you do want. You start seeing what you value. You start seeing who you value. All of that happens because you're taking intentional action with what you do. Okay. It's not to say fuck around with no intention, with nothing for 10 years. That is probably going to give you anxiety by the time you turn 30. But I think what a lot of people are feeling, what you might be feeling, is you might think that you need an answer now. I did not have it figured out. And you'll talk to most people in their 30s, not everyone, but most people did not have it figured out and they didn't even know what they wanted. Or just as interestingly, they thought they knew what they wanted, but what they're doing 10 years later is completely different. including myself. I had like probably four evolutions, big ones, if not a thousand tiny ones, over the span of my 20s, where I changed my idea of what I wanted. And when you change your idea of what you want, sometimes it's this emotional reaction to something, and sometimes it's this deep-seated, this has been existing in me for months now, for a year now, I'm just going to take action on it. There's many reasons why you might want to change what you do, but I think this idea of thinking that you need to have it figured out because you're seeing people succeed at a very young age, it's also, we're living in an era where people succeed, can have access to succeeding and making a lot of money younger than ever as independents because of the internet, because of how they can use these platforms to grow themselves. So then you're sitting here at 21 being like, what the fuck? I don't have a dollar to my name. And this person just got published in a magazine because they've made $9 million because they, you know, blew up on TikTok. Okay. And that's all well and good, like good on them for having $9 million. But you've got to look at it as these feelings are being exacerbated by everything that's going on around me. And I don't want to be made to feel not good enough or that I'm not doing enough or useless or that I'm falling behind because of these examples around me. Okay. One of the best ways to combat that feeling is to really lean into things that you are interested in, especially at 21. When you think, oh, I should be doing this, I should be doing that, how much of this I should be is influenced by those people around you? Whether it's, you know, I once said I wanted to be a lawyer. Now everyone thinks I want to be a lawyer and that's my biggest thing, but deep down I'm kind of over it. But I've just been talking about it for years and now I'm about to start uni. Like, or, you know, like how much of that is I should be doing this thing, but I don't really feel passionate about it versus not. So this is the time where you should be leaning into things that interest you. And it doesn't mean that you can't be studying. I started uni not really knowing what I wanted to do, but I thought I like studying. I like learning new shit. I think going to uni and being on campus would be a fucking fun time. So I'll combine all these things that I think will be pretty good and I'll just throw myself in there and I'll pick 1,000 random subjects and something will click. And it did. You're throwing the spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. That's what you've got to do at this time in your life, especially if you don't have a clear cut. I know exactly what I want and I want it. If you don't have clarity, you've just got to throw shit and see what sticks. I think a lot of people think, well, I don't want to waste time pursuing that when I'm not really passionate about it. That is the number one thing that holds people back from taking action and from doing shit in their life. They think, I'm not fully passionate. It'll be a waste of time and money to invest myself in this thing. So I'm not going to do it. I'm going to wait until I find an answer, until I find my why, until I find what I'm passionate about. And then what happens? You'll be 30, 40, 50 being like, you know what? I never found my passion. I'm just one of those people that never. No, it's because you're pulling yourself back thinking, I'm scared to miss an opportunity, so I won't create opportunity for myself. But it's this idea of like, while you're trying to achieve something, you're actually achieving the opposite. You're thinking, I don't want to cut down my ability to achieve something. And while doing so, I'm actually cock-blocking myself, okay? When I started uni, I had no fucking idea what I wanted to do. I thought I wanted to do acting, but I also didn't want to be waiting tables until I got my big role break when I was 65. So I was like, well, maybe I'll study something. Also, nothing wrong with waiting tables. I was a bartender and I thought I'd go deaf in a nightclub if I did that for the rest of my life. But anyway, I went to uni and it was in the doing. It was in the trial and error. It was in the putting myself out there, try this, try that, that I discovered that I loved the brain. Had I waited to be like, I want something to slap me in the face, I would not be sitting here with this podcast. I would not have ever done any of the shit that I've done. I would be, who knows where I'd be. Not to say that it'd be a bad life, but a completely different life though. So I think it's really important that right now, stop looking for the answer and start looking for opportunities of discovery. Okay. Where can I learn this? What can I do here? I'm going to do a random fucking course. Here's a challenge for you. Pick a course, and I'm not talking about university. It can be a lot smaller than that, that you never thought you'd do. Something fucking random. And I can guarantee you, no matter what, that in that course that you do, you're either going to meet someone, you're going to get an idea, you're going to get inspired to do something. Something will come of it. Something always comes from going down a new avenue every single time. So my advice, in a nutshell, to wrap it up, is your aim right now is not an answer. You don't need an answer because there is no answer right now that's going to feel right. You just have to be trying all these different things with intention. I'm going to give this a red hot go. I'm going to try that. I'm going to experiment with that. That's all you have to do. Okay. Minimize, limit how many people you compare yourself to. Try not to compare yourself at all, but that's unrealistic. So just try and limit it, okay? Hopefully that gave you some sort of reprieve from the head noise that you're feeling. Next question. This is titled Thriving in Chaos. Alexis, I wish I could actually tell you how much your podcast has changed my life. You have opened my eyes in so many ways and I just can't even thank you enough. I've pulled myself out of some extremely dark moments with hours and hours of your help. Thank you. Please don't stop helping people. The world needs you. That's beautiful. Here is my question. I was married to my soon-to-be ex-husband for my entire 20s. He is textbook narcissist. We have two beautiful daughters and we're coming to the end of a two-year-long divorce and custody battle. For the last decade, I've dealt with mental health and physical abuse, emotional manipulation, and I feel like I've been in a fight or flight mode for most of those years. I can feel myself finally starting to find myself again, and for the first time ever in my life, all I crave is peace. I now have the most amazing and patient partner and I'm in the healthiest relationship I've ever experienced, to the point where I truly believed these type of relationships were a myth. I fucking feel you on that one. However, I learned how to absolutely thrive during chaos and turmoil. I started really thriving towards the end of the marriage before we separated and during the entire last 2 years of this absolutely brutal custody battle. Within a three-month time span, I had moved out of my beautiful home that I had with my husband, two children, two dogs, and two cats. Love that. Moved into the smallest two-bedroom apartment you've ever seen, completely changed my career, got a job 2 hours away from my home, took my kids to school, filed for divorce, and met my new partner. To say the least, the last 2 years have been hectic and would be an understatement. Imagine doing all of those things with an alcoholic narcissist begging and crying for you back. It was fucking brutal. But now things are starting to wrap up and calm down. Mostly everything is done with the courts. I was awarded custody of my girls. Congratulations. I will legally be allowed to move closer to my work with my kids. And my partner and I have started to look for a home to buy and start planting new roots. You would think that life is perfect. However, my partner has started to point out things here and there. Sometimes I'll start a fight for no reason or hyper-focus on little things that don't actually matter. He has said several times that I just can't seem to relax and be present. And now that life has calmed down and there's absolutely nothing wrong, I just can't make up stories in my head, and he's absolutely right. Once he pointed it out to me, I agree 100%. The peace that I've been craving for so long is actually here now, and I have no idea how to handle it. How do I make the switch between thriving in chaos and thriving in peace? Thank you for reading this long story of mine. I would so greatly appreciate your brutal honesty. Okay, so what you're experiencing is actually quite a common thing. A lot of people, when they have gone through a really difficult event or something that spanned years and years and years of their life that's been so hard and so emotionally draining and so exhausting, they're running on, you know, I'm not being completely scientific here, I'm just talking in broad terms, they're running on adrenaline basically, this like cortisol adrenaline, that's what they're using to get them through, okay? This high stress, it is high stress, but it's also high performance in the sense of like what you were saying, there was all this shit that you were getting done and then it was, you were riding on that, okay? When something finally comes to an end, you feel like you're missing a limb now because all this cortisol, adrenaline, energy was fueled to something. When the stimulus disappears, you still have this adrenaline, this cortisol. It's kind of this residual remaining habitual way of processing events, thinking and believing, okay? So that's still there. But where you could funnel all of that has now gone. You don't have to fight any battles anymore. You don't have to, you're not in this constant turmoil. So where is that energy going to go? I know people that have had that experience and they fuel that energy into constantly doing shit for other people. I'll host, I'll do this, I'll do that. They make themselves so busy that I'm like, you've always craved peace. And now all you're doing is loading more and more work on your plate. And a lot of people will respond to that and say, well, I don't want to sit here with my thoughts. I don't want to sit here and just think, you know, what am I going to do? Just think about my situation, you know, and think about the past. I'm calm now. So now I can. But ultimately, what you've got to look at is the stimulus has stopped, but my response and how I behave and what's going on at a biological level has not yet met up with that. It's not changed. Another thing that's really important to note is you've got to ask yourself, have I processed what I went through? And I'm not talking about going back and spiraling and going around, around, around. But have I allowed myself to be like, that was really fucking hard. That was, you know, really intense. Have I been able to deal with it, process it, you know, let it go if it's something that I need to let go of? Have I been able to get to a point where if I was to think about the event, I am now at peace? So for example, on a much smaller scale, when you look at my story, after my breakup with a narcissist, I for ages was like, oh, I'm over it. But I harbored so much of this intense energy around it because it had caused me so much pain. So when I talk about it, I'm fired up, angry. And then after I'd processed it, I learned about it. I did a lot of growth work for myself. I did things that made me feel better. I grew as a person. I learned things. I went on adventure. I had this big personal change. Then I could think about the event and feel no animosity, hatred. I can acknowledge that it was a really unfair situation I was in, but it no longer triggers a spike, this response, this big intense emotional response when I think about it. So ask yourself, when I think about what happened to me, how am I responding? Is it this big emotional response, or am I able to think about it calmly? And that's going to be one of the things that help you realize, have I dealt with it? Also, it's very fresh, so the likelihood of you having dealt with it in that way might be quite low yet because it's very new. But that's something that I would really think about. Have I really given myself the time to just time to heal and process it? And then separate to that, am I avoiding sitting alone with my thoughts? Because when you've experienced something really intense and horrible, especially if it's abuse or there's been many things that can fall under the category of intense and horrible, you will sometimes think like, can I actually sit alone in my thoughts? Am I good company to myself? Or when I'm alone, am I torturing myself with thoughts? Because if that's the case, then there's a lot that can be done as far as like cognitive behavioral therapy, you know, coaching yourself through how you process, you know, when memories come up, when you think about something, are you spiraling with your thoughts? Because what happens is you're still in that adrenaline, cortisol seeking, you know, the highs, the lows. And when everything's flat, you're like, well, I'm still this intense fucking person. So you're picking fights. You're trying to do this. You're trying to fill up your plate with all this shit. You're just not adapted to the peaceful life. So these are the things you should do. Number one, if you struggle to sit with your thoughts, there's a lot that can be done as far as cognitive behavior therapy. It just means that, you know, you're really struggling to process that. If you're fine sitting with your thoughts, then it's more a habit that you have created. The fact that your partner is really aware of that is great, because it's something that he can raise with you in a helpful way, not in an attacking way. He seems like a legend, but, you know, he can help you in the sense of, you know, he can just raise it being like, this is one of those times where you're doing the same thing again. And you can be like, yep, true. And then you could come up with a strategy being like, if I start to pick a fight, could you please just be like, hey, this is one of those moments. And then I have like a little circuit breaker that I do in that time. And it's going to help me not get on that bandwagon of intensity and intense emotions, but I'll remove myself from the situation. I'll just sit down for a bit. I could do, you know, deep breathing for 30 seconds, or I can just go outside and then come back inside, or I can, you know, fucking distract myself with solitaire. Anything that's just going to like get me off. And then you're going to get used to not seeking these highs again and just getting used to being in that energy. But to summarize, you have gone through a lot. It will take time for the waters to even out and not be so, because, you know, just because the immediate stimulus is no longer there, you've got this habitual way of being from a biological standpoint, like physically with all the chemicals and with all your reactions. So it does take time. Hopefully that helped. I really hope that helps. Be kind to yourself and just have some insight into how you're processing the event. And if you're not yet over it, not over it because you don't have to ever get over it, but if you're not to a place where you can look at it being like, wow, that was intense, but it no longer makes me feel this horrible surge of emotions every time I think about it, then you can explore that as well. Okay. Final one. Hello, love the podcast. What are your thoughts on dating, even if you still have feelings for your ex? I've broken up with my ex for a year and a half now, and I have made contacts during this time to make amends, but he doesn't want a bar of it. I'm a bit embarrassed to admit that I'm still getting over it, but I really do need to come to terms with the fact that it's over. despite having no interest in getting to know someone else, I feel like it's time to put myself out there because not getting to know anyone else might be making my ruminating situation worse. What are your thoughts? Do you think it's unfair to the other party? Will it just make me feel worse if it doesn't work out? On the other hand, I can't just put my life on pause forever. Any advice would be helpful. Thank you. Love you. This is such a good fucking question. I've got, it's a confusing one. I'll give you that. It's fucking confusing because the first thing that you need to ask yourself is how badly do you not want to go on these dates? Because you also don't want to be in a position where you force yourself to go on a date when you're like, absolutely not. If there's a, if you're like, I could be fun, but I'm still caught up on this person, but it'd be nice, then we can talk about this. But if you're like, absolutely fucking not, this gives me like the thought of it, boo, hate it, I just don't want, that could actually make it worse. In the sense that it's this kind of like self-fulfilling prophecy. You're thinking it's going to be horrible. You're then probably not bringing your best self forward on the date. And then it ends up being horrible. And then you leave being like, see, dating's fucked. Now I'm more heartbroken because this amazing person is no longer in my life. It's fucked. It's horrible. Okay. I've dated when I was not ready to date because I thought just fucking put yourself out there. And I hated it. Now everyone is different. However, if you're in the position where you're like, you know what, I'm still caught up on this guy, so the thought of loving someone else just doesn't seem really possible right now, but it would be cool to meet someone else. I could probably have fun on a date. It'd be a nice little thing. Then I think it's okay, absolutely, to go on a couple of dates here and there. I only think it would be unfair because a date is exactly just that. It's a date. It's not a long-term commitment. It's not this massive thing. I think a lot of people sometimes just need, like you're doing, it's been a year and a half. You're obviously doing work on yourself. You listen to my podcast, you're doing well. But sometimes you just need that final nudge to be like, okay, I just needed to put myself out there and now I'm genuinely okay. Sometimes it takes meeting new people to gain new perspective and being like, they're not the only person in the world for me. There's all these other people. And even if I don't want to date that person or that person or that person long-term, it's made me realize that they've served as expanding my awareness. It's made me realize that there is a lot of possibility out there for my future as far as dating goes. So I don't think it's unfair to the other party to go on some dates. When I do think it's unfair is when you notice that someone is a catch. This is what's unfair. You start dating. You notice someone who ticks all the boxes on paper. They're a fucking catch. They're a legend. They, you know, everything. They tick all your boxes, but you're still caught up on your ex. But you keep this person here and you hold them here, preventing them from, especially if they're into you, obviously we're talking about if they're into you, you're kind of stopping them from exploring other avenues because you're showing them interest and they're getting more and more invested in you when deep down you know that you're using them as like a crutch if you can't ultimately ever get back with your ex, hoping that that's when it's not fair, okay? But I think to explore dating, of course you can, 100%. It might open your eyes. It might actually be the final thing that helps you get over it. I don't think that exploring dating 3 days after a breakup is going to do the job to help you get over someone. I think you need to address your feelings, but it's been a year and a half. You've processed a lot. And sometimes the thing that keeps you in that loop again and again and again is the lack of new experiences and new connections. So I think put yourself out there, go on the dates, unless the thought of it gives you severe anxiety and you're like, this is the worst idea in the world. Don't do that. But it is good for you. If you are feeling like, no, I'm the first category that Alexis said, I like, fuck that shit. Should I still force myself? No, what I would do instead is find ways where you can meet new people in general. So not dating in a romantic way, but maybe where you can meet other groups of people, interact with other people. If your friend invites you to an event and you're normally like, maybe not, go to the fucking event and meet some new people. Just start spreading your wings a little bit socially, because that again will also start to expand your awareness on, you know, who's out there, what's out there. You start getting you start to open your mind and your heart up a little bit when you start, you know, putting yourself out there more, and it doesn't feel like your world's getting smaller and smaller and the only significant person is now this person that doesn't want to be with you, because that's not what it is, but that's how you will perceive it the longer you stay like holding on to somebody who doesn't want to be with you. I've been there. Like, I know exactly how it feels. So go ahead and date, put the feelers out there. And I can guarantee you that as you start dating, your perception of your situation will start to shift, and you can still look at your ex being like, wow, they were a catch, but you no longer look at it as I can't fall in love with somebody else or I can't find the right person for me, that will all change for you. Cool beans. Thanks for all your questions, guys. Love your questions. There's so many that come through. I don't know if I'll ever get through all of them, but I really try and like pick ones that are either so fucking hectic that I have to answer or that I think would be relatable to a greater population of the DYFM bean listeners. That's all for today. Love you guys. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone, and especially don't take shit from yourself. Danke. Listener.